This week, bashware is a thing. Android has more vulnerabilities. You are so blue-boned. Hacking syringes, syringe infused pumps. D-Link just sucks at securing anything, including their products. A new bug bounty program, and Apache struts their vulnerabilities in even more places, because that joke will just never get old for me. Jason Wood from Paladin Security joins us this week for our expert commentary on how Apple's iOS 11 will make it even harder for cops to extract your data on the day when Apple's apparently making announcements in a couple hours or whatever. All that and more on this episode of Hack Naked News.
This is Security Weekly, for security professionals, by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News.
Most of the organizations I work with,
they have released. Yes, you rent it.
Actually do
the original Linux kernel security with Linux.
So I hope everybody has their resistance built up.
Brought to you by... Do you have a website, an external presence, employees, an office? Any of these things can be compromised and attacked. How are you defending these assets? Have you penetration tested these public assets? Start 2017 by taking a proactive approach to securing your vulnerable areas. Black Hills Information Security has been helping companies find their weaknesses since 2008. Email consulting at blackhillsinfosec.com and see how they can help you sleep better at night. Make sure your team is prepared to fight off the latest cybersecurity threat. IT Pro TV is the resource to keep you and your IT team skills up to date. You can stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on demand worldwide, so there's no need to send staff to off-site training. Their team solution provides access to a supervisor portal for full control over your team's training schedule and group analytics. Go to itpro.tv/hacknaked and use the code HN30 to try it free for 7 days and receive 30% off your monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. To learn more about IT Pro TV's team solution, sign up for a free demo of their supervisor portal.
Hello everyone and welcome to Hack Naked News episode 140. I am your host, Paul Asadorian, broadcasting live from right here in G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island. Before we get into the news this week, go to itpro.tv/hacknaked and use the code HN30. Try it free for 7 days. Receive 30% off your monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. You can subscribe as an individual, which I encourage you to do, or you can have your employer sign up for the supervisor portal. They can pay for your training, which I also even more highly recommend. Then they can assign training modules, keep track of your progress as you go through training, and have your employer make more time for you to get trained up. So make sure you do that, itpro.tv/hacknaked. And now, the security news. Bashware. That's right, I said bashware, is malware that can abuse Windows 10's Linux shell to bypass security software. Building on CrowdStrike's Alex Inoskiu talk he gave at Black Hat Europe 2016, that security conference, Checkpoint researchers have further proven the ability of malicious code to execute via the Linux subsystem on Windows 10 computers. Microsoft is making this a full-blown stable feature dubbed Windows Subsystem for Linux, or WSL. It's going to be stable for the October 2017 release of Windows 10. This means most anti-malware solutions won't pick up on commands run via the Linux subsystem, which turns them into Windows commands and processes and then sends them back into the Linux subsystem where they're interpreted. There's all kinds of fun things like that in the article, too. No word on if Microsoft will change the architecture, likely not, or if security vendors now just have one more attack vector to protect against, the latter is probably more likely. Android users are vulnerable to a high-severity overlay attack. ThreatPost is reporting the following vulnerability exists on all Android phones not running the latest Oreo release of Android, stating, security researchers warned of a high-severity Android flaw on Thursday that stems from what they call a toast attack, overlay vulnerability. Researchers say criminals could use the Android's toast notification, feature that provides simple feedback about an operation in a small pop-up, in an attack scenario to obtain admin rights on targeted phones and take complete control of them. So if you have a Pixel, you can and should be running Oreo. if your phone does not support Oreo, or you have an Android phone that doesn't support Oreo, or you have no idea when your carrier will release an update, you got two options. One, you can go buy a Pixel. Two, you can switch to an iPhone, which, I mean, you might have more options after today's announcement. I'm not sure what they're announcing today. But those are your options if you really want to be safe. Unless you've got Bluetooth enabled, and then you're just really screwed, apparently. The wireless Blueborn attack is targeting billions, that's right, billions of Bluetooth devices, according to researchers at the IoT security firm Armis, found this attack vector, they so-called Blueborn, which means attacks can jump from one nearby Bluetooth device to another wirelessly, not requiring the devices to be paired with each other. It estimates, Armis estimates, that there are 5.3 billion devices at risk. So it appears that this is a real threat. Several vulnerabilities have been discovered at the core of Bluetooth stacks for all major platforms, including Android, Windows, iOS, and Linux. For more detailed information, as this was late breaking news just a few hours ago, please visit arms.com/Blueborn to see which devices are affected and if there are patches available. There's videos there. I did do a soft confirm as to the severity of some of these vulnerabilities. I'm still a little skeptical, although they seem to be onto something. So please, if you've analyzed these attacks, please let us know what you think on the severity scale and the likelihood that these attacks will be seen in the wild or successful in the wild, as there's a lot of differences in Bluetooth technology and the implementations on various devices. Hackers can remotely access syringe infusion pumps to deliver fatal overdoses. The U.S. CERT has issued a warning because independent researcher Scott Gayu has identified 8 vulnerabilities in Smith's Medical MedFusion 4000 wireless syringe infusion pumps. New models being planned for 2018 will have fixes. However, in the meantime, there are a handful of vulnerabilities, some of which could allow an attacker to manipulate the device remotely and, of course, affect patient care. Healthcare organizations have it rough when it comes to security, as some recommendations for remediation include monitoring network activity for malicious servers, installing pump on isolated networks, setting strong passwords, and regularly creating backups until patches are released. None of those recommendations, however, actually fix the actual problem or really do much to prevent an attacker from exploiting the actual vulnerabilities, but they're there nonetheless for your entertainment pleasures. A researcher discloses 10 zero-day flaws in the D-Link 850L wireless router. In the more IoT news is never good news department, the zero-day vulnerabilities were discovered by Pierre Kim, the same security researcher who last year discovered and reported multiple flaws in D-Link DWR 932B LTE routers, but the company has ignored the latest round of issues. According to Kim, and I quote, "The D-Link 850L is a great overall badly, oh, is a router overall badly designed with a lot of vulnerabilities. Basically," and I'm still quoting, "everything was pwned from the LAN to the WAN, even the custom My D-Link cloud protocol was abused." So if that's not a shining opposite of endorsement for D-Link 850L wireless routers, I don't know what is. Samsung announced a bug bounty program, which D-Link would go broke if they actually announced their own bug bounty program. But Samsung announced a bug bounty program offering up to $200,000 in rewards. Dubbed Mobile Security Rewards Program, the newly launched bug bounty program will cover 38 Samsung mobile devices released from 2016 onwards, which currently receive monthly or quarterly security updates from the company. It also includes services such as Samsung Pay, which is kind of interesting. Apache Strut's 2 flaws affect multiple Cisco products, as this is typically the case when popular open source software has some heinous vulnerabilities, as were rumored to be included in the recent Equifax breach. It's not clear which Apache Strut's flaw. Some news articles are reporting that it's a 9-year-old flaw. Others are reporting that it's a 0-day. Others are reporting it's somewhere in between. We just don't know. However, we do know that the recent Apache Strut's flaw is present in Cisco devices, including Digital Media Manager, MXE3500 Series Media Experience Engines, Network Performance Analysis, Hosted Collaboration Solution for Contact Center, and United Contact Center Enterprise have been found vulnerable to multiple Apache Strut's flaws. So get patching. With that, we're going to take a short break. Come back with Jason Wood for our expert commentary this week. Stay tuned.
Has your network been breached? Cyber Reason can help you answer this question. Cyber Reason products hunt for threats within your network and eliminate them in real time. To Cyber Reason, real time means within seconds. Founded by former military hackers who don't play by the rules, they've built this experience into their platform. Harness ingenuity and imagination, not just code, to defeat attackers. Cyber Reason, disrupt the adversary and let the hunt begin.
Welcome back, everyone. Make sure you sign up for B-Sides, ConnecticutB-SidesCT.org. That's happening soon. Also, make sure you check out Sans Hackfest. I keep saying Pentest Hackfest. It's actually just Sans Hackfest, November 13th through the 20th. You can go to sans.org/hackfest and get a $300 off discount by using the code HackFest17. I'm sorry, it's sans.org/hackfest17. The discount code is HackFest17. I'm going to be there. Ed Skotus is going to be there. What more could you ask for? Sans.org/HackFest17. $300 off when you use the discount code HackFest17. They get you a discount for the two-day HackFest Summit. Hacker of Fests, Mr. Jason Wood, is here with us today. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, Paul. Good to be here.
It's nice to have you. We're talking about Apple today, huh? On all days.
We are, which I think is kind of ironic, given that... you know, their event is going on right now for, I guess, the last hour and a half or so.
I thought it was 1 p.m. Mountain. Is it going on now? Or is it 1 p.m. Mountain time? Is it?
It started at 10 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Pacific time.
Okay.
So, what does that be? 1 Eastern? So, yeah, it kind of ironic the way this came out. But as I was looking through, you know, things that are going on, this just jumped right out at me. This was an article written up on Wired Magazine that started off with the headline, Apple's iOS 11, which is being announced basically today, will make it even harder for cops to extract your data. And so that kind of piqued my interest because I, you know, we've had some that's made the news in major ways, such as like the San Bernardino shooters that had an iPhone that was found by the FBI. Apple refused to come up, create some kind of special OS to backdoor the system and allow the FBI access to it, or create some kind of master key. Anyhow, Apple has ratcheted up, again, in iOS 11, some of the protections in iOS to help protect your data, even if somebody has physical access to your device. That's one of the things, you know, when we talk about security, you know, servers and workstations, laptops, stuff like that. You know, physical access is basically root access to it. So that's what Apple has been working with and trying to overcome. And here are the two features that are part of this. One is when you plug your iPhone into a new computer, instead of just hitting a prompt to say, okay, trust this this device on the computer, now on the computer you have to type in the PIN number for that's set on the device to allow the connection to be made and to be able to perform backups on it. So in this scenario, this kind of comes into play with some of the searches that occur as you're coming across the border, let's say back into the United States. Custom and Border Protection may decide that they want to take a look at your phone. And the way I heard this described is they would have you connect your device up to, or they would take your phone, connect it up to a computer, take a backup of it, and you know they would just trust it, do the backup, and then they could examine the phone's contents, you know, as they went. Now that's going to require the traveler to punch in their code. I don't know how much that's going to really impact law enforcement because, honestly, they can just sit there and detain you there until you miss your flight, which is always how they have gotten people to allow them to nose around a phone. But still, it's kind of an interesting new twist on things. The thing that really got my attention is what's the now called the new SOS feature, which is you push the home button 5 times on your iPhone and it disables Touch ID entirely. Hmm. So why is that interesting? Well, the courts have ruled that your fingerprint is not something that you can deny to law enforcement under your Fifth Amendment rights. So, you know, they can basically force you to touch the device and unlock it. Pins, you know, you can say, well, I forgot it. There's some ambiguities there still, depending on the court you're in, I guess, about whether or not that's incriminating or not. You can be, whether or not it's protected under your Fifth Amendment rights. Obviously, and they can still slap you up, put you in prison for contempt of court for refusing to unlock your phone. But at this point, you know, law enforcement can't physically force you to, you know, if they forced you rather to go up and physically touch the phone, you have the opportunity to push the button five times and now it's locked out to your PIN. So now even your Touch ID doesn't work. This one could be pretty tricky. You know, because like I said, even just the risk of having a prisoner touch the phone, it becomes a little bit more dicey. I'm a little bit mixed on some of the protections that the Apple's doing here, or the impact rather that it has on law enforcement. There is a legitimate reason why law enforcement would need to analyze the contents of a device in relation to a crime. At the same time, mobile devices are really easy to lose. And so, you know, I like the idea of preventing, yeah, they may have my device, but they're going to have to wipe it out to actually use it and to be useful to them, to a criminal, let's say. So my data isn't compromised. But, you know, we're creating this tension here, you know, we're increasing this tension here between law enforcement now and companies like Apple as they, you know, they, let's say, have evidence of a crime that may involve information on a phone, which, let's face it, almost any crime now can be applied to that. I've talked to law enforcement and forensics investigators that say, you know, even drug cases and stuff like that have the electronic element in it because of information that may be on that device that will prove that, yeah, this person's dealing drugs or whatever's going on, help them roll up the drug dealing ring. But, you know, we've now, like I said, have increased the ability of a criminal to, let's say, maybe before they're arrested, quickly lock out their Touch ID, or, you know, if they're really fast, even if they're being forced to use the Touch ID to unlock the phone, quickly lock out the device. Touch ID is now disabled, and law enforcement's out of the phone until they can somehow compel this person to give up their PIN. So I think this is just it's an interesting development. There's some privacy benefits to us, but some obvious areas where this is going to increase some tension with law enforcement in regards to device security around mobile devices. Got some fears as to how that could be handled. I mean, we're already seeing in other countries and inside the United States as well, where there's pressure on tech companies to create backdoors or some kind of master encryption key to allow them to get into devices or encrypted communications. So, you know, sometimes I wonder if things like this are going to help precipitate that. But at the same time, you know, what happens when you lose your phone? You know, we've got things like, you mentioned the Samsung Pay, you've got Apple Pay, stuff like that. We're getting more and more valuable information on these devices. And, you know, they need to be protected. They're you know, my wife loses her phone all the time. So
she's not getting a new iPhone, in other words, because she'll lose it.
Yeah, I mean, we always find it again. But nonetheless, yeah, so you still play the hunt the iPhone game around the house in the car.
Right.
They walk off really easy, and phones get stolen. You know, how hard is it to slip one in a pocket and walk off like nothing happened?
Yeah, I think it's interesting as technology evolves, that struggle between privacy and allowing for investigations, to see how that kind of plays out. You know, obviously there are protections. The more protections we put around the phone, the harder it is for law enforcement to, you know, perform an investigation. Of course, getting a warrant, that's pretty valid, you know, hopefully in most cases, that's a valid way right. in which to access, because they're being accused of a crime and have gone before a judge and said, yes, I have, you know, I have a warrant, and the judge has validated that. We like to think that works out, you know, most of the time. Of course, there are a lot of loopholes with that, and you know, it's up to the judge's discretion as to whether or not a warrant is issued. It'll be interesting to see how the law enforcement community gets more educated about technology and what that lag time is. So, all interesting stuff, Jason.
Right. Yeah, I am curious, even with the warrants and stuff like that, because this puts more power in the individual mm-hmm. to essentially to make it more difficult for law enforcement to compel them to give up information in spite of a search warrant. But it is. It's an interesting process to watch.
Well, Jason, thank you very much for appearing on this episode of Hack Naked News. Thanks, everyone, for listening and watching. We'll see you next time.